turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
David Britton from the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium, are you there?
I am mysteriously here.
That did sound quite mysterious, didn't it? Hey, David, just quickly before we get into the proceedings, I was wondering if you're aware of this festival that's like in, I'm going to be very vague on the situation here, but it's like, it looks like it's in like Thailand or something, and they just shoot rockets off into the sky, like hella homemade sort of rockets and that. Are you aware of this?
I have seen that in the media in the past. I don't know. I mean, when I've seen it, it's when they've had a spectacular launch of some sort. The one that sticks in my mind was like a massive Catherine wheel.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, it's strange. They like attribute their problems and stuff to these rockets and then just shoot them off into the sky. It's kind of like a sort of a ritualistic. But it looked quite interesting. It was basically like super intense fireworks, though. It all looked really rugged and like kind of like...
Yeah, a little wee bit hairy. New Zealand Health and Safety wouldn't like it.
Totally.
Yeah, that Catherine wheel, though, it's this huge wheel with rockets on it, and it starts spinning, and the thing goes up into the air.
Oh, yeah, I have seen this.
Like a flying saucer.
It's insane,
And then it crashes back. It's just amazing.
Fun with gunpowder, eh? What's going on in the serious realm of space related?
Well, I'm going to start with non-mysterious at the beginning, I think.
Okay.
And that's to do with fuel. A couple of things. Firstly, the baddies, and that's the Pentagon, the Defense Department in the United States.
The baddies in this situation.
Did you just call them the baddies?
We'll start off with the baddies.
Okay. They're probably listening right now, David.
Oh, shit.
Probably, but this is all public information, so that's not a problem.
Okay.
The largest consumer of oil. It's just amazing to think about it, that the Defense Department of the United States is the world's single largest consumer of oil.
Okay, now everyone stop and think why they commit so many war crimes and whatnot.
I mean, it's mostly on buildings and fuel, is the gas emissions, so the greenhouse gases, it's obviously going to come from all that fuel and oil that they use.
Mm-hmm.
They maintain over 500,000 buildings. It's just incredible. 500 military installations, and that accounts for about 40% of its greenhouse gas emissions. Fuel for
aircraft carriers,
aircraft and so on take up a huge amount of it. I mean, it's just amazing to think that one single organization like that can emit just so much. I mean, they emit more greenhouse gases than places like Portugal, Sweden, or Denmark.
Okay, well, that sucks.
It does. But they have actually reduced the amount that they do produce. So they actually used to produce a lot more.
Mm.
So they have done a few things, like trying to use renewable energy by insulating buildings.
Sold some buildings, probably.
Yeah, and simple things like reducing the idling time that aircraft spend on runways. Mm. I mean, it all mounts up.
Right.
But they still produce a huge amount of greenhouse gases.
How keen are they to go electric in their realms?
Well, whatever keeps them safe is going to be the bottom line, unfortunately. So
whatever keeps them what?
Doing that doesn't keep the country secure. They're not going to do it, are they?
Right.
Yeah. So now the goodies, NASA.
Just seems like there's so much war surrounding oil.
There's a SpaceX rocket that's meant to have gone up about an hour ago, but they had delayed it by about 4 hours. And they've got a number of experiments and so on it.
SpaceX NZ? Or is it, it's Rocket
SpaceX.
Lab, actually. Sorry, SpaceX is different. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, Rocket Lab, they're a little different.
Mm.
So SpaceX, one of the things was this green propellant. So it's not for the propellant that's used on rockets launching from the ground. It's propellant used while up in space. The main one is called hydrazine. Now, hydrazine's highly toxic. It's a dangerous chemical, but it's been very effective in that, and basically it's been used since the very first days of the of space exploration. So it's mainly used for small burns and for orientating craft up in orbit. What they're going to try out is a new one called hydroxyl ammonium nitrate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So it sounds very official, doesn't it?
Is this all just like hard-out avgas kind of thing?
Well, except it is pretty green. It's actually more efficient than hydrazine.
If I put...
About by 50%.
If I put some of this on my Hillman Hunter, will it go hard, or...?
No. You'd have to turn it into a rocket, I'm afraid.
Well, that was the plan.
Yeah. So it's got a higher density, so it can store more of it in less space.
Nice.
And it's got a lower freezing point, so it requires less power to keep it warm. On top of all that, it's actually very, very safe. You could actually send it round by courier.
What?
It's that safe.
Wow.
You could send it by courier quite happily.
Is that because it ignites at such a high temperature, or what?
It needs an ignition, and without that, it's perfectly
inertial.
Transportable.
Mm. That was a good one, John.
Nice. Yeah. They're going to try that out on this when they finally get up there. The mission is now meant to be around 6:30 or 7:30 our time, if they don't have any further delays. But there's a couple of things going up on that launch.
They probably just want.
I think a pretty good one.
They're probably just tuning in. You probably want to catch the Tuesday Drive show. Pretty normal.
Probably, yeah. You're listening in right now.
Mm. Now, David, India have sent up, or are sending up, an orbiter, orbiter and lander/rover for the moon. So
yeah.
there's going to be more moon buggies up there.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's right. It hasn't got up yet. It's going up in a couple of weeks. I just thought that probably next time we speak we'll be fairly much concentrated on the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So this is the Indian sending up a three-part mission. So it'll have an orbit. It'll stay in orbit for about a year around the moon. A lander will go down to the surface, and it will carry a rover, and that rover will be able to go around and travel across the surface. So the lander and the rover will last about a day on the moon, which is about 2 weeks.
And will they go and check out, because did America leave a flag up there or not? Will they go have a look at that flag?
Well, the Americans did, but they're not checking that out.
Oh, everyone's in on this, man. It's just, I kind of like how everyone's on their own buzz, like, oh, we're going to the moon now. You know, like.
Well, the thing is,
they've been planning
for a while. This is the third of the Chandrayaan spacecraft, but they've been leading up to this one where they actually go down to the surface.
It'll be unmanned, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No people.
So why wouldn't they go and look at the American flag? I just, come on now, let's have a look.
Sorry,
there's some other stuff that they probably want to achieve up there.
Conspiracies eat me up at night, David. They eat me up. I'm like, where's Bin Laden? Oh, yeah, in the ocean. Cheers. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, what?
Well, one difference about this touchdown is that we're landing near the south pole of the moon.
Oh.
So this will be, in fact, the first craft to actually land, do a soft landing, have a rover.
Will they put a flag in the ground, or do you have to be a human on the thing to put a flag in, to legitimately put a flag in the ground? You can't get a rover.
Well, the flag doesn't really mean much.
Well, it does to me.
No one's claimed the moon. They can't do that.
I think America has.
No, they haven't claimed the moon.
Well, there's a flag in it, apparently. So.
No, there's a space treaty which prevents that, and they're a signatory to that. So.
I do like the phrase space treaty.
Space treaty.
Yeah, that is meant.
By now, the flag will be so faded it wouldn't be recognisable as being from any country.
Oh, yeah, it's probably been evaporated by the solar wind, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's all cover-ups coming from every direction.
They're going to leave a laser reflector up there, though. The Americans have given them one of those, and
they're going
to put it on the surface so that astronomers can send up, or anyone can send up, a powerful laser flash.
Cool.
And count the time it takes to get the reflection back, and that'll tell you how far away the moon is.
Oh, buzzy. Awesome.
Yeah, so there's already a number up there, but this will be on a different part of the moon, at the South Pole. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out over the next few months.
No doubt.
Now, an enormous telescope has been given the go-ahead. Tell us more about this, David.
This telescope is going to be 30 metres across.
That is enormous. I agree.
It is. It's getting on for nearly three times wider than any other existing visible light telescope. So we're talking about a telescope that is working in visible light, not radio telescopes, which are much, much bigger, or can be much, much bigger. This is visible light.
A seeing eye
telescope.
So it's
about 9 times more area to collect light. So the bigger the light bucket, the more light you get, the further you can see, and the fainter that you can see. But this one is going to be on Mauna Kea. There's already a number, about nearly a dozen telescopes already on the Hawaiian mountain. But there's been controversy even with the ones that are there, and with this particular one, they had to go ahead, and then there's a whole lot of protests, and they've been going for about the last 10 years or so.
Is it the locals protesting?
Yeah, the native rights people, so the native Hawaiians have...
I'm sure they are kind of disheartened by the amount of, like, you know, NASA's interest in their land, you know, for, like, reasons that they're kind of like, look... We're not about this stuff. We've been here for a while
it's,
now.
It's not so much that. It's the more religious thing.
Yeah, totally. That's what I
believe it's a religious, a sacred area.
That's what I meant by not about this stuff.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of ownership in that sense. I mean, the telescopes that are there are on lease time, so that they can't just stay there forever. They don't own the land they're on.
Interesting. Okay.
So all the telescopes already there will eventually come off anyway. Who might be in 50 years, but you know, eventually they will. So anyway, this particular one, the 30-meter telescope, now does have the go-ahead. And they haven't got a start date for it, but they've been going through a very long process of trying to work with the native Hawaiians on coming up with a solution that works for everyone. And it seems they've almost got there. There are still a few protesters around, but the actual official go-ahead has now been given.
Right,
it's not going to be the biggest. There's actually another telescope that's already underway at the Atacama Desert in Chile. It's a European, extremely large telescope. That's the name of it.
Euro.
Yep, the ELT, the Extremely Large Telescope. That is already under construction, as I said. That will be nearly 40 metres in diameter.
Okay, well, look, if that's what it's all about, then congratulations to them and their massive telescopes.
Biggest best.
Now, what's going on in the night sky, David?
The night sky after sunset, we've got Mercury and Mars really low over in the west. This is about as high as Mercury's going to get, and it'll start dropping back towards the sun over the next days and weeks. Next Thursday on the 4th of July, they'll both be very close to the moon. Mars will be only a tenth of a degree away from the moon, and Mercury about 3 degrees. So the 4th of July, if people have got a nice clear western horizon, they might get a good pick of Mercury, Mars and the moon together there. Over in the east, got Jupiter up high, and Saturn's rising at about 8 o'clock or so, and Scorpius is really nice. In the morning, we've got Matariki, of course. Matariki's low in the northeast. And if you can't quite see that, if you look due north, down low, this is the Andromeda Galaxy. That's the furthest thing you can see with the naked eye. It's over 2 million light years away. It's a sort of cigar-shaped smudge above the northern horizon. So maybe a couple of things for early risers to have a look out for.
Okay.
Nice. Nice. And what's coming up at the Stardome in the next couple of weeks?
A few things. We've got, as I mentioned, the celebrations of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So we've got a number of things. One is called the Moon Milestone. That's at 7 p.m. Wednesday to Sunday, right throughout July. It's a Stardome produced planetarium show exploring the significance of the moon. So that's each night from Wednesday to Sunday, 7 p.m. in the planetarium. Just after that, starting after that, in the school holidays, the second week of July, the theme for that is called Mission to the Moon. So in the school holiday sessions, we're learning about the moon itself, about the Armstrong and Aldrin going on to the surface. So there'll be different experiments and activities in the space room. That'll be followed by rocket launching, if the weather's fine, of course, outside, and then going in to see the planetarium show after that. That show's called The Accidental Astronauts. That's about these robots who go on a school trip to a science centre, and a couple of them end up somewhere they probably shouldn't.
Mm. Classic childhood robots.
So school holidays, yeah. That's basically ages 5 to 12. There's the 2 weeks. There are pretty solid bookings coming up, so it'd be good to for people to get their bookings in sooner rather than later. So it's $10 for adults, and it's, for children it's $12. That's to cover some of the cost of the resources that are used in the...
They tend to spill stuff as well. A couple more dollars to pay for cleaning up around the kids. A little bit more messy than the adults.
Well, no, it's for the resources and the activities that
they can't be trusted either. Can't be trusted. So.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff there that bring home, you know, what it's like being on the moon and, you know, what it's like being an astronaut. So there are three shows, 10, 11, and 1, each day right through the July school holidays for the mission to the moon.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
We also have, during the celebration itself, starting on the 11th of July, the Giant Leap exhibition. So this is an exhibition of... not just photographs, but some artifacts and information about the Apollo 11 mission, about how they got there, what were the dangers, about the technology involved, the problems they had to overcome, the significance, the legacy of it. Really celebrating and examining what actually happened when they actually did go, with no hoax, to the moon.
Let's
and
have a look
back.
At this faded flag. Let's have a look at it flailing in the wind.
I had to wave that flag.
All right, mate, thank you so much.
Thanks very much, guys.
We'll catch you guys at the Stardome Planetarium and Observatory. I fucked that up, didn't I?
In 2 weeks' time, we'll be talking 50th... moon landing, 50th anniversary, and more school holidays.
We'll talk a little bit more detail about that.
Let's get into the conspiracy a bit more, I think.
No. They did it.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you, David.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
I wonder if David Britton subscribes to